This is Paul Jindrzejczyk with Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined in the studio by Matt Millar. Matt is the head chef over at Reserve at 201 Monroe. Jenna Arcadocano, she's over at Amore at 5080 Alpine Northwest. And Tommy Fitzgerald from Cafe Stella at 678 Front Street, Suite 115. So how did each of you guys get started? Formal training, teach yourself?
Ladies first.
Okay. Well, I've always been in the industry ever since I was 14. My first job was at Cook's Drive-In on 44th and Eastern.
Okay.
That's had my hands into ground beef and making chili for chili dogs at 14. And then I moved around. I went to East Lansing. I got a job in a Chinese-Korean restaurant. I managed a vegetarian joint. And after that, I moved to San Francisco, where I was in restaurants there.
Okay.
Where I met my husband. And then he took me to Italy.
Okay.
And we just went for a short trip the first time, and then we actually moved there, and we lived there. And I spent most of my time in the kitchen pointing and, you know, waving my arms around because I didn't speak enough Italian at that time. And so I would like, be looking for a funnel. I'm like, I don't know how you say funnel in Italian. So I'd draw a picture. And she would say, oh. And then she would say the word for it. Mm-hmm. And so we got around with each other in the kitchen, and she taught me how to do everything that I never knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she was my training.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always was in kitchens, but she was my training. She taught me so much about just basic cooking, and then we just went from there. We would sit and watch the cooking shows in Italy, and and we just kind of, we had a similar passion, and she had to feed 11 kids. She's my husband's one of 11, so she had her own little restaurant in itself.
Okay.
And so we kind of shared a passion, and then it just became my dream to open an Italian trattoria like her house was for me when I would visit her.
Sure.
So that's what I did.
Matt, go ahead.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I started working in restaurants when I was fairly young. I went to college at Grand Valley for something I wasn't particularly good at, and I was paying my way through school working in restaurants. And one day I just realized I was already doing what I loved, and I just wanted to take it more seriously. So when I finally decided that I was going to stick with it and I wanted to become a chef, I worked under the best people locally I could find. I taught myself as much as I possibly could, and just kind of lived and breathed it. I'm embarrassed about, you know, to think about when the last time I read a piece of nonfiction or that didn't have something to do with food.
Okay.
You shouldn't be embarrassed.
What are you talking about, dude?
Surrounded.
I resemble that statement.
We just, you know, we put our nose to the grindstone and just do our best to do our best work. And then once we've figured out where that bar is, we say, okay, well, where's the next one? And that's kind of, it's been a slow road. Maybe if I had gone to a larger market or gone and spent some time in Europe, I'd be a little bit better at my age than I am today. But there's a lot of, I think, honesty behind the way that we did it. We stayed home. I stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
And really embraced what was around me immediately.
Sure.
You know, from that great prime beef that's raised all over the Midwest to pierogies and smoked kielbasa. It's been increasingly important for me to try and going back to what I said earlier, really kind of dig in and discover what we sort of let go of in West Michigan.
Right, right. Well, it's good to see that we're going back in that direction.
I think we are. I think it's not just me. I think a lot of chefs are really taking their roots as Michiganders very seriously.
Yeah, I've been noticing that over the last 5 years, and I think that's good.
Absolutely.
Tommy?
I very similar backgrounds as you guys. My mother had a restaurant, too, pretty much, because there's seven of us, and the woman could make awesome food out of nothing. And we called it the plantation. We had like a half an acre garden growing up. So I grew up with canning and preserving foods and cooking foods different ways to make it stretch. And I did. I went to Aquinas and emphasized in international business and got out. And I put myself through basically cash working in restaurants. And I had... I hated it. The real world was not real. It was unreal to me. It was foreign. And then one of my greatest mentors, Chrissy Jackson, she let me come work for her at the Gilmore Company at Thorn Appleville Gym back in the day. And my friends it was kind of a spoof. My friend said, hey, you know, it's our 5th anniversary. You want to come and just cook for us? And because I've always cooked. Mm-hmm. And Christy actually worked the first gig. And she's like, why are you not a chef? And I'm like, because I want to make $8 an hour and sit at the bar at the end of my shift every night. I want to make a ton of money on the floor and leave and go home with my money. And she's like, you're missing out. So I decided I was like, well, then I'll learn from just killer chefs around the country because I can wait tables everywhere. And I turned that into a business opportunity where it evolved into calling someone up and saying, hey, I read about your chef, Jenna, in Art Culinaire, and I'd love to come and work for you for free for a month. And I'll ring in under management mode as a waiter, and I'll live off my tips. And at the end, I'm going to give you an outline, and it's going to go over everything from demographics and marketing to sales ability to internal controls, food cost, everything. If you want that, it's this much. And if you buy it, then I'll stick around for a couple weeks, and then I take off to the next thing. And that's how I learned, because what we do, you guys, is a trade. Mm-hmm. And you can go to school, and there's some I love CC, but that's only one component. That's only one component, because you have to learn how to go, holy shnikes, I got 100 people in my restaurant right now. Mm-hmm. I got 3 guys and myself on the line. How are we going to get through this rush?
Right. Logistics are important.
It's all logistics. People, when we cater, people are like, and I hate that word, we're partiers, by the way. People are like, oh my gosh, because we wheel in and we use that Cambro like a set of dresser drawers, mm-hmm. and we have it's all about logistics, and it's all about your mise en place.
Mm-hmm. Organizing ahead of time.
Always setting yourself up for success. And I've just been really, really lucky. I've been able to surround myself with great people in the industry that have always mentored me and take all that knowledge to heart and put it on my plate.
It's like, and you learn every day something
every
new,
day.
And that's the beauty of our business. I mean, I would love to spend a day watching you do what you do, because that would help me learn more about what maybe I want to do.
Sure. I just sit at my desk and look at Facebook all day.
No, you don't. Then you didn't friend me yet, so you better not be on Facebook all day.
Oh, that's crazy. I know. Well, I think this is the time maybe we bug Matt for something for Juice Ball next year, and then the 3 of us throw down at your place.
Hey,
because
cool.
I tell you what, that was one of the best times I've had in a long, long time.
We had fun.
You know, and Jenna and I did a fun thing with the Juice Ball thing, and that's where Brian Garrity and I tried so hard to get Fire and Knife going.
Yep.
And it really turned into just you and I because, you know, it seems like a good idea. But when you get in the throes of your business, and then it's hard to stay creative and stay cutting edge when you know that, you know, you've already got 150 people on the books for Friday night and you got crap to do.
Right.
And your waiter calls in sick, and one of your staff calls in sick.
Yeah, and the chef is wicked hungover because he's an idiot. But see, I don't have those problems.
I don't either. I'm in there.
Yeah, I don't have those problems.
I know better.
Because, you know, I'm there prepping. But yeah, maybe Grand Slam Juice Bar will pull Matt into the mix.
I have to back up a minute because I was the only one who didn't mention Mom when it came to.
Okay.
To your influences as well. We can't forget
her. Irish Scotch boy, not mentioning Mom. You better speak up.
my mom's side of the family is from the American South too. So there's
okay.
We grew up with great food in my house and great cooks all around us in that family.
So that was a big influence.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Matt, you were recently a semifinalist for the James Beard Award.
That's correct.
So for those who may not be familiar with the James Beard Award, what exactly is that, and how did the whole thing come about for you?
The James Beard Awards are kind of like the Oscars for
sure.
The food world, the restaurant world.
Right.
They have regional chef awards every year.
Mm-hmm.
They divide the country up into, I think it's 10 categories.
Okay.
We're in the Great Lakes category, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois. So unfortunately, we have the fun of competing with all the great chefs from Chicago in our category. They put a list of semifinalists out every year. There's 20, and mm-hmm. then a voting body narrows that list to 5 nominees, and then at a ceremony in New York, they announce a winner
okay.
for each of those regions. And we were privileged enough to be on the semifinalist list
this
year.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's huge.
It was really huge.
It was really a great thrill for me.
Especially, like you said, because we're with Chicago, was one of the big time.
Right.
It is, yeah.
The big time towns for food in America.
Mm-hmm.
And usually,
if not one of the best.
Once the list is narrowed to 5, three or four of them at least are from Chicago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's hard to crack into that top 5. And but being in the top 20 was, it was great. There were only 3 other chefs in Michigan that were
wow.
on that list. So. It was a big thrill for
us.
Yeah,
what a phenomenal opportunity.
Yeah.
And Jenna, you had a pretty interesting opportunity a couple months ago. You had the pleasure of catering for Snoop Dogg when he was at the yeah. intersection.
Yeah, that was really, it was just kind of a last minute thing. I saw on Facebook that someone posted, Snoop's coming to town, and I was like, I'm on it.
So Snoop?
Yeah. So I called, because I know the owner of the intersection. I said, hey, if I can be of service for anything for Snoop, let me know. I'd be happy to cater. And I was like, I just got to get a picture with him. I mean,
right.
this is like a guy I grew up listening to, well, in college at least. And I just thought it would be fun.
Right.
So I get, I'm not for sure until the day before. And I'm up at Great Wolf Lodge with my girls celebrating my daughter's birthday. And I get
okay.
an email. And they're like, okay, you got to be here at 11 to set up for lunch, and then you're going to come back for dinner. And I was like, okay. And this is while I have to run the restaurant as well, because it's a Tuesday. And so I have to get my thoughts together, and I'm like writing everything down on the way home from Traverse City, like, oh my gosh, what do I got to do?
Mm-hmm.
And they give you a list of things that they want and don't want.
Right.
And then you just kind of have to go.
Because it's in the tour rider.
Yep, it's mm-hmm. in the rider. And so I just kind of showed up, and we had a lunch time sandwich buffet, but I kind of wanted to be creative and funny with it too, because
right.
it is
you
Snoop
came up with
after
some,
all.
Amusing names.
Yes, I had fun writing little name cards next to, which probably can't be repeated on this radio
Fair
station,
enough.
but I had a lot of fun. And the cool part about that was someone. I guess this is how it works. Someone is the tour manager, and they send pictures to him, and then he tweets them or Facebooks
right.
them.
Yeah, I heard
he tweeted about us.
Gave you a pretty big compliment.
He said, Grand Rapids Catering knows how to do it doggy style.
Nice.
That's Jenna.
With a picture of my food, like the food and the labels.
Right.
So we
That's
were
fantastic.
Pretty pumped about that. And then at the end of the night, my favorite story is that we were so tired because we had gone back and forth at the restaurant twice, and it was 2, and he like waited an hour just to come out like mm-hmm. to perform. So we got to be in the front for the show, and I got awesome pictures.
Awesome.
And then at the end, they're like, if you want to meet him, the only chance is waiting here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these women who want to meet him. And I'm like, we're never going to get in. I'm like, my hair is all like flattened out. I had my hat on all day. I'm wearing my chef coat. And these ladies are pretty much naked. And so we get back to the back, and we're behind all these ladies.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm tired. Do I really want to wait? I'm like, yeah, I want to wait. So he comes out. He has to use the restroom with his bodyguards, and he sees all these women in front. Waiting for him, and he goes, there's so much flavor in here, it's like a bag of Skittles. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like nudging my friend who helped me, and she's like, did he just say that? I'm like, oh my God, he just said that.